This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I hate to do the cliffhanger, but Michael Grosso is telling us about this experience where something, some human-type form, engulfed him, enveloped him. Tell us more.
Yes, I want to shout out, having just seen the person who had come down, her name was Liz, I wanted to shout out, "It's here," loud. I could not do that while this entity had wrapped itself around me. I was paralyzed. Not an unusual phenomenon, by the way, paralysis in these strange encounters. So it took maybe just a few seconds that it released me and then disappeared, you see. I waited till the morning to recount this culminating event to the people that had put me up for the night, and they were not surprised. And my own interpretation of why this entity, I have to call it a ghost, it had all the characteristics of the classic ghost. My interpretation of why it came so close to me is that I had been tutoring the family about how to treat this ghost. I said, "This is a dirty old ghost." Okay, so I encouraged the folks who were being distressed by this ghostly manifestation that they should dismiss it whenever they encounter it and treat it with disrespect because it wasn't in any way behaving in a way that's appropriate. Ghost or no ghost, to be glaring at women while they're trying to take showers. And so that may have been the reason why this particular entity maybe knew that I was there checking him out and checking the whole scene out and decided to try to scare the devil out of me. But to me, it was a very, very interesting experience. By all grounds, I should take it for what it appeared to be, but it's remotely conceivable that I conjured up this apparition myself in order to scare myself and convince myself there's life after death. Someone could say something like that. I don't believe it, but it is not absolutely inconceivable. And I have a difficult time believing in life after death. And despite the enormous amount of data pointing in that direction, pointing in many different shapes and forms. But this one was, I've had two other very striking experiences that imply or suggest life after death. So anyway, it's difficult for me to dismiss experiences like that I've had, Gene. And so anyway, what's your reaction to my story?
I love hearing these stories because I'm a firm believer that people do have these experiences. I've had them myself. Actually, your ghost experience is also reminiscent to an experience that I had, which at the time I attributed to, for lack of a better term, a ghost at the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's there's no shortage of real experiences out there. I know that skeptics would like to dismiss them all, but personally, I just don't think that's a reasonable way to look at the problem. There are too many people who I think are honest people who have very incredible experiences. But what I do think is important is how we interpret them and analyze them, and that maybe not all of our assumptions that have been historically assigned to these experiences are the right ones. And so I'm looking for alternatives.
Sure. I understand. Now, what would be the alternative explanation of the experience I just described to you of my own?
That's a good question.
Nine people had seen, this is a haunted house. I'm not the first one.
Well, hauntings and alien encounters are remarkably similar, especially in terms of the types of things that take place during the encounters and the sightings. So, for example, we have one thing is called the Oz factor, where people tend to have what they feel is a different feel to their consciousness and the environment around them. Other things like invisibility and anti-gravity are part of the UFO phenomenon as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we combine something like invisibility and anti-gravity, you could have some sort of actual situation going on there in a number of cases where things like levitation take place, seemingly from some invisible entity, or we have the idea of active camouflage. And we're working on that ourselves, where we can actually make things look like different things, shape shift mm-hmm. in a way, just by making them look differently. So if you've got the kind of technology that can make something disappear or appear or make it look like whatever you want it to, it would be very easy to manipulate people into thinking what you want them to believe through a purely technological means, as opposed to having to invoke something like afterlife.
Okay, let me ask you this. By the way, many ghost-like phenomena are similar to many UFO-like visitations. So I grant you that premise. But my question would be, why would an alien civilization go out of its way to spook a guy along with nine other people in a house in New Jersey?
That's the fascinating thing.
I'm sorry?
That's the fascinating thing. And I think this takes us back to where we started, where we were talking about the difference between intelligence and consciousness. Maybe what these beings are some kind of highly intelligent entity, but they don't have the same experience of the world that we do. They might be able to sense things going on around and intelligently analyze the environment around them, but yet have no experience of it. And they find our particular way of looking at the world and what we describe as our consciousness is something that's missing that they don't understand. And the only way that they can get a grip on it is to because it's through our behavior that our consciousness is expressed. And so this is kind of something, an idea I've been thinking might be a motivational factor in that we're being studied to try for them to try and figure out what we mean by consciousness. What's this extra thing that people have that they don't seem to have?
Well, okay. This is something you've been thinking and speculating about.
It's total speculation, but yeah. I find it very interesting from a philosophical point of view, you know, because we don't really know if the aliens have consciousness like we do. We know we do.
Right, right. Well, we know very little about aliens, but yeah, sure. It, who knows? I mean, there's, but as I say, I cannot bring myself to believe that in this particular case, there are other examples where it's not clear. For example, the Marian visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary have been taking place all over the world, actually, at least the past couple of hundred years, and it goes back earlier. And I have to say that I can't make out in some instances whether or not what we're dealing with are projections of alien technologies conning people into believing in the Virgin Mary, or whether they are Jungian archetypes being objectified, or whether they actually are visitations from some kind of a heaven. I don't know, you see. So there are issues here that are very puzzling, and I'll grant you that we ought to feel free to speculate in any way that seems plausible. But specific case by case histories, I have more firm opinions, and I've had other experiences with entities. And they're too long to narrate to you, which definitely seem like terrestrial ghostly phenomena. That's my best explanation of them. But I don't make absolute claims about any of this material.
Let's do our break here, guys, and we have more with Michael Grosso, having a lot of experiences and observations on The Strange and Unknown. Gene and Randall, you're in
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Michael, you said earlier you didn't necessarily believe in life after death. I got that right, right?
In the case that I cited, I said that I myself still had a little doubt as to whether or not what I experienced was a classic haunting ghost. Yeah, but I didn't make a broad statement about the totality of evidence, it's a little harder to dismiss. And again, you got to take it case by case. There are lots of cases on record that are, let's say, ambiguous, a little uncertain. And then there are some that are much more powerful, much more compelling.
Let's go into a couple of those because we've still got a good hour left. So, yeah, let's hear some more because this stuff is, I find it quite fascinating however we look at it because, like I say, what they believe that people are having these experiences, there's something out there. We don't know what's going on. Let's hear a little bit more about some of these experiences.
I'll give you one my own, okay? So I'm an authority on my own experience. I was living in New Jersey at the time. And it was a warm night. I couldn't sleep, so I got out of bed and went into my living room and lay down on the couch and sort of drifting off to sleep a little bit, I suppose, when I looked up and suddenly my dead grandmother was in the room with me and she was with another woman whom I did not recognize, a younger woman, rather beautiful, actually reminded me of my mother, who happens to be an attractive woman. But I noticed that was the thought I had. I knew, of course, I recognized my grandma, who, as I say, was deceased. And then this other striking face that I had, was a whole bodily form. That was it. I got up and in the course of the day, I called my mom and told her about the experience. And she said, "Why don't you come over to the house? I want to show you a photograph." So I did. So I went, paid my mom a visit, and she showed me a photograph, a big photograph that I had never seen in my life, an old family photograph of her family, her mom and cousins and so forth. And immediately I picked out the woman that I saw in my apparition the previous day. And I said, "That's the person I saw." And she said, "Well, that is your grandmother's sister, Aunt Katie." And I had never met Aunt Katie, but when I was a little child, she came to visit with my grandmother, my mother's house, and I was in the other room in a crib. My aunt, or rather the Aunt Katie, wanted me because I was a newborn baby, but my mother said, was embarrassed about the shabbiness of the crib. She was embarrassed about that crib. "Nah, he's sleeping, leave him alone." That was the only contact I had with Aunt Kay. I can't think of a reason why my grandmother and my great aunt there should show up as an apparition, but it may have been, assuming that they're both hanging around in the next world, "Let's go visit Mike now that he's grown up and check him out and see what he's up to." Okay, that's the only explanation that I can have. But now the question is, how was I able to identify? I saw an apparition of someone I had never met that turned out to be have a meaningful connection with me. I construe that as evidence of some kind of survival. So that's another experience that I had. Not the strongest case for survival, by the way. I've written a book on this subject. There are, you know, all kinds of very impressive, detailed, compelling cases. But that's one that I had that made an impression on me.
Oh, certainly, yes. And I've heard of similar stories as well. And the common thing for us to do with such experiences is to attribute the experience to the idea of some sort of an afterlife by a deceased person. However, again, I mean, I would offer the alternative that it's possible, again, if we're dealing with some sort of beings that have been studying our world for who knows how long. It seems to be, according to the mythology, it could be thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they do follow the histories of certain people, and they are aware of people who have lived in the past, and they are able to make representations of them and show them to us. And then when a person sees that apparition, like you say, it tends to resemble a projection. So when we see this projection, our minds sort of put two and two together and go, "Well, that's my dead grandmother." May not be anything of the sort. It may just be them trying to get our reaction to something that they're portraying to us in order to further understand this thing that we have, this consciousness, our idea about who we are, to study our psychology. When we do strange things like that with our own people, you've probably heard of Michael Persinger, for example.
Yeah, I know. I know him. I don't have much respect for him. But he's dead now, right?
That's right. I think, you know, there's a number of people that think he was very groundbreaking, though, because it's pretty hard to deny that, you know, you've heard the God helmet then, if you've heard of him. He's able to induce experiences through electromagnetic impulses.
Yeah, I'm not into any of this stuff. I'll tell you one story about him, why I'm skeptical about him. He wrote an article about Marian visions in Egypt, okay, in 1969. And he wrote this article in Michael Sword's Journal of UFO Studies. He tried to explain these phenomena as a result of some kind of tectonic stress in which light effects were manifested.
Earth-light phenomena and such, yeah, and the EM effects on the brain, right?
Right. So that for 3 years, millions of people came to that town in Zaytun, outside Cairo, Egypt, witnessed a light form manifestation of the so-called Virgin Mary. I interviewed at least 7 people who were there. They were living in Jersey City at the time. I had photographs of this apparition. So what you see in what people saw in Zaytun, they're not stupid morons who came out night after night just to witness a few odd tectonic light effects. They saw apparitions of something that they called the Virgin Mary. These apparitions were published. I have copies of them. I've seen them. People were healed. The form walked around and appeared in different places on the vicinity of the church and reacted to people. And I wrote him a letter. I said, this is a complete false account because these are not just random lights. There are images that have been photographed. He did not reply to my critique. And the business with the helmet, the effects that he produced with that helmet were so negligible, so trivial, that I myself simply don't take his work terribly seriously.
Well, let's have a little closer look at the reason why I mentioned that. First of all, with some of the experiences, some of his study people in his studies actually had the experience of seeing dead relatives and having the feeling that they were there. Yeah. So I don't think that's entirely trivial.
Let's break it here and we'll go on with that. More discussions and questions from Randall with Michael and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team tells a federal judge because former campaign chief Paul Manafort repeatedly lied, they don't recommend leniency when he is sentenced next month. The sentencing memo describes years of criminal behavior. He lied and misled his bookkeepers and lawyers. He also lied to members of Congress, the special counsel, and the grand jury. And he misled members of the Trump administration. Venezuelan National Guard fired tear gas and rubber bullets at protesters trying to free up emergency food and medicine at the country's border. When a group of activists tried to get 3 flatbed trucks with humanitarian supplies into Venezuela, guardsmen set the trucks on fire. At a rally in Caracas, President Nicolas Maduro threatened the United States, saying if it attacks, his army will retaliate. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who builds Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on 2 global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Randall, you were asking Michael Grosso a question, giving a comment on this discussion.
Right. Yeah, this is a fascinating discussion because we're really, you know, delving right into some of the key points about all of this. I don't think having the kind of experiences that Persinger was able to evoke through his studies is trivial. I do think that if you have independent, objective, verifiable evidence of something other than a purely subjective experience, then that suggests that something objective was happening. And so once again, we could say, okay, well, if we're capable of inducing in people's minds certain experiences, and we're capable of creating projections to make people think certain things, why shouldn't these aliens who've been here for who knows how long and are studying us not be able to do the same thing in order to study our psychology? So it could be that what we have is something completely separate from what people think it is, leading them to believe a certain thing. Jumping to the conclusion, well, you know, I'm a religious person and therefore I saw the Virgin Mary. Other people in that vicinity saw other things. So, you know, it's really kind of an interesting concept. It's something real is going on, but I don't think it's what everybody thinks it is. Maybe it's not even what I think it is, but at least something like an alien intervention through technology that we know exists is a possibility. It's something that we can go, okay, well, we could probably do that if we really wanted to.
Okay, well, again, what you're saying is conceivable, and I don't believe it myself, that these large amounts of evidence for postmortem survival can be ascribed to the manipulations of an alien technology impinging on us. I simply don't believe.
Right. Yeah. Now we're talking two separate things again. And this is where, you know, we get the world of the paranormal and these other kinds of experiences kind of merging with the experiences from our own minds. So when you talk about postmortem revival, we're talking about NDEs here again, I'm assuming, right? Something like that where people...
I'm talking about the whole range of phenomena associated with survival. Mediumistic phenomena, apparitions, near-death experiences is one recent form. So there are, you know, all kinds of reincarnation memories. Research has been done on the field of reincarnation. There's Ian Stevenson, Jim Tucker, who is a colleague of mine here at the University of Virginia, is publishing book after book about these reincarnation cases. So there's a whole lot of different kinds of phenomena that are sometimes construed as evidence for life after death.
Absolutely, definitely. So have you heard of the AWARE study?
AWARE study? No, that particular phrase does not ring any bells, no.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a study that was done by professionals, medical professionals, on the whole near-death experience phenomena, where they had patients in operating theaters where a specific message was placed up out of their view onto a shelf, where if they were to, say, float up out of their body and have a genuine experience of the objective world,
right,
that they should be able to see this message. And
right,
then upon coming back out of their body or back into their body and regaining consciousness, could relay that message and therefore right, provide some sort of verification that it had taken place. Now, there was over 2,000 cases, but only 140 of those patients survived. Out of all of this study, not one single person, and there have been other similar studies, not one single person has ever been able to accurately say what the message or the imagery was when they were out of their body.
You hold it. I mean, first of all, I'm not sure that that is accurate, but...
Well, this is a scientific study. Look it up.
You will.
Now, what they did say is that where there were cases where people didn't have the benefit of having this particular device, this, you know, whether it was a message or an image or something, but people still had the experience and they were able to go back and investigate later and say, well, this experience that they have correlated very accurately with things that did take place. So it's not like these experiences don't happen or they aren't remarkable, but we still lack that real definitive link that something is taking place in real time that represents consciousness coming out of the body.
Okay. We'll leave it at that then. Okay. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just looking for a comment on that. So because this is sort of the cutting edge of that kind of research.
My comment about what you just said about all of these cases. First of all, people who are having an out-of-body near-death experience, they're not paying attention to some obscure little target that's been placed above their heads on some shelf. It is absurd to imagine that that is what is probably going to happen. In fact, what happens during these out-of-body states is that they have interactions sometimes with family members, and they notice things that are going on and then report them, as you just said correctly, that they do have extraordinary observations while they're out of their bodies. But the fact that they don't notice some stupid little target that's set up in the corner of a room proves nothing at all, okay? Nothing. To single that out, that item, to dispense with the whole range of near-death experience phenomena, to me is not a particularly useful thing to do. But if it's important to you, I'm not questioning that.
Oh, I think it's an important study and it's an important piece of the puzzle, but I certainly wouldn't, and I would discourage, I completely agree with you. We can't take that particular study or others like it and say, well, because people weren't able to correctly identify the targets means that they didn't actually float up out of their body and have a genuine experience of the world around them as it took place. It's just that we don't have that definitive link there yet, but people are trying to get it. Now, we could look at other explanations for the kinds of experiences that people have, and they seem pretty reasonable. Assuming that someone is therefore, you know, has actually floated out. Their personality has come up out of their body and floated around a room and then got back into their body. I think that's making kind of a leap, because in no cases in real time have we ever been able to observe that. It's always after the person regains consciousness and has a functioning brain that they're able to relay a story to us that took place sometime in the past about something that isn't entirely unreasonable for someone to be able to conjure up in their mind if they're in a hospital-type environment.
Let me tell you the story about an out-of-body experience, again, where I was the witness. That might be strike you as a little bit more interesting. I had, again, a student. I used to teach a course in psychic phenomena, so I had a lot of people interested in this stuff. The students would come and tell me stories. I had one student who told me that she had a talent for leaving her body. So I jokingly said to her, "Really? Why don't you come and visit me sometime?" So she said nothing, and I forgot about it. And several days later, the following happened. And I'll be honest with you, I don't remember if she told me this personally or telephoned me, but she explained to me, I think it happened, yeah, on that very morning, I got a telephone call from her. Now that I recall, she called me on the phone. And the first thing she says, "How do you like the furniture rearrangement in your living room?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she then explained to me something that I had already noticed that morning. Now, at that time, I used to play the flute, and I had it was like a practicing, just a thing I did to amuse myself.
Let's talk about the flute in our next session, okay?
Yeah.
We'll continue with our discussion with Michael, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game, Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, Michael, you said you used to play the flute. No more?
Right. Yeah, I was just had taken some lessons, and I used to practice every day, and I had my music stand in the living room, in a particular corner, right next to a large shelf of books. That's where I had, it was there permanently, and next to a chair, and I would sometimes sit in the chair or stand up and practice. Well, that morning, when I received the telephone call later on, when I got up in the morning, I noticed that my music stand was moved right into the middle of the living room. And I said to myself, that's funny. I don't remember doing that. For some reason, I must have moved the don. It was there all the time. I never moved it. And I didn't give it any thought. No, by the way, I lived by myself. There's nobody in the house, not even a cat or a dog that could be invoked to explain what I'm about to describe. So I didn't pay any attention to it because we do things like that, right? I mean, you sometimes unconsciously move something around. Even though I noticed it and realized this was not something that I normally did. Well, when I got the phone call, my student explained to me that on that night, on the previous night, she had gone out of her body, as she had told me she could do, and she decided to just think about me. She'd never been to my house, and she suddenly found herself late-ish at night, observing me in the kitchen, and that's exactly where I was at that time, in the time that she told me, and she tried to get my attention while I was hovered over over my coffee table and writing or doing whatever work I was doing, you see, and she could not get my attention. That annoyed her, so she floated into the next room. I say, float. I don't know how you walk how you move around and you're out of body state. And she noticed the stand. And she grabbed it, she said, and she succeeded, to her mind, in moving it into the center of the living room. And thus proving to me that she had an out-of-body experience. Now, I didn't see her out-of-body presence, but her story matched my experience of a misplaced music stand. And all I could do is infer that she told me the truth, because I couldn't see any other reason why she would call me and tell me this story, which fit perfectly with a puzzling experience I had early that morning. So that's an example of an out-of-body objective evidence of somebody claiming to have left their body. Now, you don't have to accept it, and maybe you think some aliens did it to fool me, But that was an impressive story. That's one of those many experiences that I've had that I told you about that have, you know, prompted me to explore this material.
That's absolutely fascinating. And, of course, your experience isn't this is we got to come back to this later, too. The whole idea of synchronicity, because Tim Beckley is real. He's really into the whole synchronicity thing. But this is like a third thing now that you've described that is similar to something that happened to me when I had, well, I was talking about the experiences with the ghosts back many years ago, because I play an instrument, I play guitar, and that whole, what we were thinking was a haunting at the time, or you could, it fits the whole idea of a classic haunting, was in the space where we used to rehearse. And we were finding things like our instruments actually moved around, and our other guitar player was getting irritated because he was saying, like, don't touch my stuff when I'm not here. And we're going, look, it wasn't any of us. We don't know what's going on. And then it wasn't only me that had the experience with this apparition like thing that was very much like the thing that you describe. But our drummer observed one of these instances where the kind of a shadowy thing came down past some sort of a glass encased stairwell and came to the bottom of the stair, went to the door, and we thought it was our guitar player showing up, and I go to open the door, and there's nobody there. And this was in the basement of a church, no less, with a whole mural of the crucifixion of Christ on it. It was the little blood dripping down. It was done by children, but it was really something like out of some kind of a Stephen King novel. But yeah, these things happen. So I don't know how to necessarily explain them, but the experiences I do believe happen to people.
Right. Right. Well, and that, you know, that's a striking thing. I have to say that most out of body experiences and don't seem to involve physical effects, and a lot of haunting, I'm sorry, a lot of afterlife-related phenomena do not involve any physical effects, but some do. Occasionally, they do. I had a woman who wrote me an account of a ghost that liked to pull the sheets off her while she was sleeping. Rather suspicious, I would say. But there was no evidence or claim that she was sexually assaulted by this entity. But something used to come into her bedroom and just move around her, try to tear the covers off her. So occasionally you do have these physical effects. And, and then of course there are the sounds, the rapping sounds in hauntings and the light effects. But yeah, it is a tricky business. There's no doubt about it. You find and interpret what is happening. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so I don't know if are we ever going to get an answer to this? It sort of seems like, well, you know, unless someone is able to perform on command under some sort of controlled laboratory conditions, that they can teleport their consciousness into another room and telekinetically move around objects. I don't think that we're going to get many people who actually, well, see, I believe that weird stuff like that takes place, but how are we going to prove it to people? It's kind of like UFOs, you know, we get them on radar and we follow them in jets. We see them, but we never seem to get that piece of metal, you know, or the ship itself.
Well, you know, let me just say this in terms of what kind of response to your question. How are we going to resolve? Or are we ever going to be sure and so forth? My own feeling is that, the range of experiences are so variable to human beings. And in the end, we're probably not going to have a consensus on these matters, but I don't think that's important. What's important is that we have our own views. There are groups of people that might agree that certain that the world operates in a certain way. I mean, think of the fact that, you know, difference, that's a big issue in modern philosophy, right? We're supposed to be learning how to tolerate difference all the time. And so we have to tolerate the fact that people have vastly different ways of looking at the world, some evidence-based, some not evidence-based, some reasonable and humane, some barbaric and vicious. And we're never going to have the total agreement or total compulsory belief about anything. And that doesn't bother me in the least. I have my own views. You have your views. We may agree in part, and that's fine. We may disagree in part, and that seems perfectly fine. I'm not expecting or looking for total agreement on any of the paranormal stuff, because I've been involved in the field for so long. It's so full of devious responses as well as accounts of phenomena that it's unreasonable to expect people are going to emerge at some point to, yes, we all believe. But, I suppose it's conceivable that we may one day devise methods of making postmortem reality absolutely clear to everybody. But I doubt it. Maybe we're supposed to be a little riddled with uncertainty. If we knew all the answers to everything, life would be a lot less interesting, don't you think, Gene?
I think it's very interesting. I know Randall's been talking to you about all the possibilities here. But we have to do our break. It comes.
Sure.
Okay, Michael Grosso, talking about the paranormal and all sorts of related subjects with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.